welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome. Praise God. Good to have each one of you with us here. And just trust you've been already encouraged, strengthened. That's a good word this morning. David was saying just about the rest of God, the peace of God. You know, Jesus said something very profound. He said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but I give it to you. It's eternal. It's forever. And when it comes to peace, you know, the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. When that peace, that rest, that grace is there, there's a decision that you have. Am I going to just let it rule, or am I going to hold on to things and in my mind and my cares? And so it's a great opportunity when you sense that anointing and that grace to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to let your peace rule and comfort my spirit this morning. I think that's a good word. Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and start with a passage of Scripture. This is Psalm chapter 91, the latter part of Psalm chapter 91. And the psalmist is declaring, because he has, and this is actually God speaking, he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wonderful passage. This is the same passage in the Message. It says, if you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. I'll be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you and then throw a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. That's well put. You know, I love this, and you know, because God, this is God really responding ultimately to the psalmist, just crying out to God in the middle of his trouble, in the middle of his problems. And God is responding back, and it said, because he set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. It doesn't say because he's a really good guy. It doesn't say because his good outweighed his bad. It didn't say a bunch of stuff because he had a good day. It said, just because he set his love on me. Wow. And that's a real profound thought. It's a real profound statement, because many times when we are in trouble, you know, we're trying to get out of trouble. We're trying to work our way out of trouble. And maybe you're ashamed because you're in trouble, so you don't go to God. And you want to get out of trouble and then get back right with God. And God is saying, no, in the middle of trouble, when you set your love on me, I'm going to be with you. You know, he said, I'm going to set him on high because he has known my name. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Again, not because he's having a good day. He's known my name. He knows me. He knows I'm here. And he's going to trust me. You know, the definition of faith, according to the Word of God, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's one thing to theologically believe that God is. It's another thing to believe that God is when you're in trouble. This guy believed God is and sought him and called upon him and set his love on God. And I will be with him in trouble. There's kind of a little commercial I've seen recently on TV where you got these kids playing ball, and one of the kids hits the ball into the neighbor's, through the neighbor's window, and all the kids kind of abandon him and run away and said, oh man, you're dead, you know, you hit old Wilson's window or something like that. And there's this one little girl who comes up to him and says, it's all right, you know, I'll stay with you. We can go, we can tell him it was an accident. you know. And, you know, just kind of this picture of this friend, you know, people who are a friend in the hard times. And this is a picture of God. Not, this is God proclaiming himself, I'm going to be with him in trouble. I'm going to deliver him. You know, that would be good enough, wouldn't it, just to be delivered from your trouble? Not good enough for God. I'm going to deliver him in your trouble, and I'm going to honor you. Wow. Praise God. You talk about a God who loves you, a God who's a safe place. And why? Simply because he set his love on him. Basically, the title of the message today is this. It's The Way Out Is Up. Okay? The Way Out Is Up. This message this morning is especially designed for really ugly, complicated situations. Things that you're wondering, okay, now what? I've banged my head up against this wall so many times, so many situations. Could be a relationship issue. Could be a financial issue. Could be a health issue. Something that is just like it's eating your lunch. Something that's had you've had problems with it. And a lot of times, it's in the complication of it. You know, sometimes you'll say you can't see the forest through the trees. You're so close to something. You can't see what to do next. This psalmist guy got it right, though. He didn't even figure out what to do next. He just set his love on God. The way out is up. And so this morning, we're going to kind of ask a few questions in relation to that concept, to that theme. The way out is up. Question number one is, if I can get my little hit mess here, I'm going to go back, forward. Maybe I'm get my, all right, here we go. Which way is up? All right. The way out is up, but which way is up? And this is where we got options, don't we, when we get into trouble. The psalmist set his love on the Lord, but which way is up? And let's just be very clear, and this is why it's so important to preach the Word of God. It's important to have scriptures up here. It's not a preacher saying religious-sounding, spiritual-sounding things. There's authority in the Word. And when you see these words, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is going to confirm that this is right. This isn't cliche. This is the absolute answer to your situation, your mess, whatever that might be. And it says, Hebrews chapter 12, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. That's really, when you're in those complicated situations, there's a temptation to become weary and discouraged in your soul. And what is he saying here? He's saying, look unto Jesus. In other words, Jesus is our fixed point. He is our true north. What am I going to do next? Jesus is what I'm going to do next. I'm going to just look unto Jesus. I'm just going to find my hope in him. We'll talk specifically more what that means in details and technical stuff. But right now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about my gaze. I'm not trying to solve anything. David kind of brought that out in worship a little bit. We're not trying to solve anything, not trying to figure anything out. My next step is that psalmist's next step. I'm going to set my love on Jesus. And Jesus put it this way. He said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What we find out is that as we're trying to problem solve in life, we've got choices. And this is kind of how we headed up. You know, which way is up? Self-seeking versus God-seeking. When you begin to seek and you begin to self-seek, you find. When you seek after God, you find. You just find different things. And Jesus, you know, very simply said, if you desire to save your life, self-seeking, you're going to lose it. If you'll lose your life, deny yourself for my sake, you're going to find it. You're going to find your life. Let's give another kind of a scriptural illustration of how this plays out. This is James. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." All right. When you engage in self-seeking, you find yourself. You find your flesh. You find confusion and every evil work. There is a part of us, after we gave our hearts to Jesus, the Bible says the law of sin in these mortal bodies, it still fights us. Paul, if you read Romans chapter 7, almost sounds schizophrenic. He says, "I want to do the right thing, but I don't do the right thing. I end up doing the wrong thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing, but I do the wrong thing. Why? Help me, help me." You know, it's we got this battle. The inward man wants to do the right thing, but we feel another pull. Well, he goes on to give us an answer. He goes on to say, yeah, there is an answer to this battle. There is an answer to this thing. In other words, I'm going to be seeking in a way that I'm going to be finding, but I'm not finding confusion, you know, confusion in every evil thing. This is what it looks like when you get it right. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is an important scripture because a lot of times when we're in this state of problem solving, I'm trying to get out and I'm finding myself in that place of confusion in every evil work, banging your head against the wall, not making progress. So many times we can stay here, and I kind of call this can be a little merry-go-round. You kind of get locked in a loop of this, what the scripture calls demonic wisdom. But there is a way out. There is a way out to spiritual wisdom. And I'm just going to say this. The difference between this and this is a decision in your heart. At some point, all that wonderful theology we just went through, how much Jesus loves me, great shepherd, all that stuff has to be real to you in that particular situation. All that theology, Pinocchio has to become a real boy. It can't just be theology anymore. I believe you are. I'm willing. Because when you're talking about this demonic wisdom, man, that stuff stirs up your passion, your emotion. And to, in the face of that, say, no, I know what I'm hearing, but I know the sound of what I'm hearing, and I know that God doesn't sound like that. And if I'm hearing that, my eyes aren't on God right now. There's a self-seeking. There's somebody who wants me to feel sorry for myself right here. There's somebody who wants me to get stirred up, angry, bitter, passionate, all that kind of stuff, and it's not right. And you can build a case, but you can hear the voice. It's not his voice. When it is God, pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. When I get serious about looking to Jesus, I'm not listening for even the content of the wisdom at first. I'm listening for the voice of the wisdom. If it's bitterness and strife, you know what he says here? He says, if you have bitter, in verse 14, he says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. What he's saying, don't think you're getting a revelation from God here. You're not. This is not coming from me. I'm not giving you supernatural wisdom as to why you should be bitter right now. He's saying, no, that's not the way God talks. He's going to sound like this, pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. There's a great little story in the Old Testament when the Hebrew children fell into sin. They had snakes that were loosed in their camp. And they knew they sinned, they knew they missed it, and they cried out to Moses to help them. And this is what happened, It says, therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he can take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. This is an amazing story, because what happens is you've got a camp, and there are snakes everywhere. And your deliverance from this lethal situation where many people have already died is you've got to look at this pole. And as you look at that pole, you will live. It sounds like a simple little thing to do, but what a test of faith. You've got a snake slithering by you. You don't want to look at a pole. You want to look at the snake. You want to problem solve this situation, right? It takes faith to look at the pole and not look at the snake. The self stuff that's produced from the flesh, and you can look at it in Galatians 5. I mean, things like hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, envy, murder, revelries, all these different things. You know, we can put our labels on them however we want to today, but the scripture says it's flesh. It's all beatable. And you can overcome any of that stuff. But when you do self-seeking, you find that. When you seek self, you find self. You'll find that flesh. But the scripture says when we behold him, we're changed from glory to glory. I'm just beholding him, and I'm getting changed. I had nothing to do with it. All I'm doing is looking at him, and he's doing the changing. I'm looking at that pole. It's a big deal. I'm not talking down this morning. I've been here many times, and I've been snake bit many times, and I've fought a lot of snakes in my life. And it takes time to realize, nah, I'm not going to fight that snake again. I've fought that snake a lot of times, and I end up in the same place. I'm going to look. The author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to set my love on him in the midst of these snakes. God's going to see that, and it's going to bless God. The way out is up. Which way is up? Jesus is up. I know this sounds simple. Our whole theology is pretty simple, but it works in the most complicated of situations. I'm just here to remind you this morning, as I remind myself, we got to look unto Jesus. He's the author of my faith, and he's the finisher of my faith. Began the good work, he's going to complete it. So in other words, he's the one who's going to begin to show me what I need to do next. But I'm not going to see what I need to do next by looking at the snakes. I'm going to see what I need to do next by looking at Jesus. And as I do that, there's going to be a finishing, the Holy Spirit revealing to me what I need to do next as things are getting worked out. I've kind of had this happen in my life when I was going through this, fighting some snakes, as I like to say it. I was running on the treadmill, and I was just kind of frustrated and arguing with myself on the treadmill. You know, you can be totally having a fight and nobody can see it in your own head, you know? And I'm fighting and I'm like about 7 levels deep in this fight and I'm, you know, I get the word from the Lord spoke so clearly, said, Ed, just praise me. I said, just praise you, you know? And what I said was this, I said, Lord, let me finish this first and then I'll praise you, you know? Maybe I was winning, maybe I was getting my digs in, I don't know. You have those arguments in your head and all of a sudden I had to just totally interrupt it. And the Lord just said that the word that I've lived by and he's had to bring back over and over in my life, he said this to me after I said, let me do this, and then I'll praise you. He said, you don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me. Wow. Praise God. That gets me off the hook. You know, Satan appeals to your intellect and your ego and your pride. And you fight a lot of that fight because of pride. Scripture says, humble yourself casting your care on him. It's a humbling thing to look up. It's a humbling thing to look unto Jesus and say, yes, I know I even have resources of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and education and great things you've deposited on the inside of me, but I'm going to wait and be led by your Spirit and let you draw those out of me and show me what to do next. That's casting your care on him. What are we talking about? Which way is up? Jesus is up. This is a one-size-fits-all sermon this morning. I say that unashamedly because this is a sermon that I've had to preach to myself over the spectrum of over 30 years of endeavoring to live for God. We all need it. We got to go back to looking unto Jesus. Doesn't matter how long we've walked with him, how long we've been living for him. Praise God, we got to look unto Jesus. Then, as we move along, how high is the Most High getting high in God? You know, when you receive Jesus, at some point in your life, you experienced a high. You experienced something. That peace that passes our understanding that we talk about, you experience is tangible. All I know is that God loves me. All I know is that God loves me and I'm forgiven. It's all I know. And everything else doesn't matter right now. That's it. You know, there was a hardworking church that Jesus exhorted in the book of Revelation. He said, you know, you're doing this good and that, but you need to return to your first love. There is a high in God. In the same way, when you're determining which way is up, self-seeking versus God-seeking, once you're looking up, there's two kind of highs. There's a flesh high and there's a spirit high. And the first time you get spiritually high, it's like, wow, right? There's something really to this. You know, I'm high in the sense that I have joy, I have peace, and I don't even have any substance in me at all. How can that be? Maybe there really is a spirit thing. Maybe there really is something to this, you know? And so we're talking about how high is the Most High getting high in God? God wants you to get high in him. We're going to look at it in the scripture. And it's good. It's a good, good thing. Colossians 3, 1 through 3, or 2 actually, says this, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That's high. Okay, this is the message paraphrase. It says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. I like that phrase. That's where the action is. Everything you see out here is common to man and is a rerun in terms of the flesh. In fact, anything you're tripped up by, the scripture says, is common to man. There's nothing new tripping you up down here. Same old, same old. Where the new stuff is, in heavenly places in Christ, when you begin to set your mind on things above. Instead of you trying to God and control down here, no, you're looking up. And what are you doing? You're saying what you hear the Father say. You're doing what you see the Father do. You're submitted to him. You're not running the show. You're submitted to him. And you're letting him work through you. And there is nothing more satisfying in the world than hearing from God, doing what he told you to do, and seeing blessing and fruit. Being used of God is the greatest, most job satisfaction you can ever experience. And that's what Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear fruit. That I could do something with my life that would cause people to look up and glorify the Father. Wow, is there any greater job satisfaction than that? But what we find out here is that this is where the action is. This is where the focus has to be. So it's one thing to know to look up. It's one thing to know that, okay, Up is Jesus. Up is heavenly places, where Christ is. And the cool thing about this and the vulnerable thing about this is you can't just concretely in your natural mind wrap your mind around that. There's a step off of faith. It's kind of foggy. Things above, Christ, right hand of God. That's what you should do with the natural thinking. But there's a challenge. There's an upward call. Okay, Father, show me some things. I want to see. The Apostle Paul said, I pray that you get a revelation, the eyes of your understanding, that you will know the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward you, the hope of his calling. And you begin to pray, Father, begin to show me some things from that perspective. It's amazing how things from an airplane look a whole lot less intimidating when you can just see everything than they do up close and personal. It gives you that, like you said, that perspective, seeing things from his perspective. So what are we doing? We're getting high. We're in the process of getting high right now. Proverbs 14:14 puts it this way. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Now, I'm talking to me and you as believers this morning, okay? We know what it's like to be filled with our own ways, and we know what it's like to be satisfied from above. I'll tell you what, when you're satisfied from above, that's everything. You know, so many times we're looking for that quick, you know, our natural flesh is just excited and overstimulated, and we got to keep it stimulated and keep it happy and keep it entertained. And, you know, you're in that place where you're impatient. I got to do something. I got to watch something. We know what that's like. It's you know, and you can do it, and you can and try to keep that. But after a while, there's going to be a crashing down. And a lot of times, too, we'll just kind of talk about natural high versus spiritual high. You kind of have those crashes. You have those situations. You have the heartbreak. You have the pain. That's where we're, you know, in the natural sense, you'd reach for something to medicate, to numb the pain. But this is where there is supernatural power in God that heals the pain. This is what the scripture tells us. These are exhortations to us Christians. Ephesians 5:18, it says, and don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting to one another in the fear of God. In other words, we're being intentional. We're on purpose doing something that is going to absolutely, you know, and again, this is different. If I start speaking in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, we had a great worship time this morning. We experienced that. We can experience the strength of the Spirit and whatnot. But what we're talking about here as far as getting high in God, you've got to almost think of it in terms of a natural diet, okay? I know that if I eat a candy bar, it's going to taste really good. It's going to give me a surge. It's going to, you know, but I know that in a little bit, I'm going to crash down, right? But when it comes to something healthy, maybe I'll have some whole wheat sandwich or some healthy thing, and it might not give me that super quick energy kick, but I know that it's going to be working in me, and it's going to be nourishing me. It's going to be strengthening me, all right? When we're talking about getting high in God, you begin to realize that, you know, when I begin to worship God, speak songs, hymns, spiritual songs, pray, I'm not going to have a little prayer time and expect that I'm necessarily going to get a quick fix like a candy bar. I'm sowing to the Spirit. I'm taking time and saying, Father, I commit this situation to you. I commit this relationship issue with you. I might pray in the Spirit. I might speak, you know, the Word of God, fellowship to one another, songs, hymns, spiritual songs. What am I doing? I'm eating healthy. I'm eating things that are of the Spirit that are going to put something into me. And these are choices. These are decisions. And here's the ironic thing. We think about getting high. When we get high in the natural, it's quick. Give me the shot. Give me the candy bar. Give me the high happens quick. Many times in the Spirit, the high doesn't happen really quick. But I believe he is, and I believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's part two. All right? Point number one, I believe he is. I'm going to look up. Part two, I believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, I'm going to wait until that prayer, that praise, that word, that time in the Bible hits my stomach and begins to work and work in me and through me. That takes faith. Faithfulness. You know, you know what faithfulness really is? Faithfulness is the ability to not have to have a constant inspiration at all times. You don't need that. I know that sounds spiritual, but that is a yoke of bondage. If you put that pressure on yourself to have to feel inspired all the time or I'm not doing something right, that's a heavy yoke. You don't have to have that. I'm just diligently seeking Him. I'm going to pray, I'm going to praise, and if I do it and I don't feel anything, no problem at all. What am I doing? I'm sowing. I'm just looking. I'm getting high. And a lot of times when you get high, you'll get high when you least expect it. You'll just be going along down the road and all of a sudden you'll see something. You'll realize it. Strengthening. A light. Things that go on. And it's like, thank you, Lord. Praise God. He's showing me. He just answered my prayer. I didn't get it exactly when I answered, but I got it. And you begin to sow to the Spirit like that. Here's also what it looks like. 2 Peter, it says, but grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, God, knowledge of God and in Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. We were singing about this morning in the promises, by which we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What we see is that God has given us power in those promises. Now we're talking about how high is the most high in getting high. The paradox of this, even in the preaching of it, this is the absolute most fun part of Christianity, right here. It's the funnest part. There is nothing like being in fellowship with God and knowing you're in fellowship with God and having the peace that passes understanding and being in that zone where you're hearing Him. You got a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him going on. Because what happens is, and this is, again, give another scripture right along these lines, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another so that you cannot do the things that you wish. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and this is what your high looks like. When you get high in God, it looks like this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. That is the fruit. That's the high that you get in God. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. And let me just say this, that scripture, those who diligently seek Him. There is a diligence to this. There is, and we talked about this several weeks ago, about how discipline is not legalism, okay? In other words, I could have a devotion time at the same time every morning. And because I do that faithfully in discipline, it doesn't mean I'm legalistic at all. It just means that I know that I need to keep myself accountable spiritually. And I'll tell you, it is sweet. It is wonderful. You get to where you're looking forward to that time. Your time with God. This is what it's all about. It's all about Jesus dying on the cross so that we can go back to the garden and hang out with God. And that's what getting high in God is all about. It's just your fellowship. I got this big complicated problem and I don't know what they're going to do and they're going to do. You know what you need? Hang out with God. Start talking to God again. Have fellowship with God again. It's from that place that thing isn't so big. It's from that place that you begin to get wisdom and direction. It's from that place you get spiritual guts to confront things you've been running away from for years. Because you're just hanging out with Him. You get high, you lose your inhibition, right? But this kind of high is a good kind of losing your inhibition. Because it's that fear that brings you back to the old flesh escape. But when you don't have that fear anymore, you don't need that flesh escape. You're satisfied in God. Backslider and hearts filled with his own ways, but a good man's satisfied from above. This is huge. This is where deliverance takes place. And it's gradual. It's glory to glory. It's step by step. I've had it where I kind of use this illustration too. We we had a dog named Sammy, and he would invariably in our backyard, he'd get tangled up in, when we put him on a chain, we had one pole in the whole backyard. And he would go around that one pole, and the chain wouldn't go back all back the way back into the house, and he'd start barking. We'd go out, and he's just right around that one pole in the whole yard. No chairs, no picnic tables, just one pole. And we look at him and say, Sammy, just go around like this. And he just kind of looks at you strange, like, you know, and I go, oh. So you know you got to get out of the yard, and he's right there, and you got to go right next to him and say, come here, Sammy, good boy. And he just comes to you, you know, come here, Sammy, good boy, wags his tail. Come here, Sammy, and he's all coming over to the house, and he goes right on in, and he's all happy, and he thinks, you know, I'm a genius. And I've thought of that, too, in my big, complicated situations, going, God, what are you going to do? He's going, oh, boy, all right. For him, you know, it's just a loop around a pole, you know. And so what does he say? Okay, Ed, I love you. Come here. Come here. Okay. Thank you. You love me. Oh, thank you for coming. Okay. No, just come over here. Okay. Thank you. You love me. And pretty soon I'm in this wide open space, and I am high in God. Praise God. I'm over it. But his highs, a lot of times, they're like that. They're not a drive-through high. It's little steps. What am I doing? I believe you are. That psalmist who set his love upon him, we just think, oh, he set his love upon him and God delivered him. He set his love upon him and he kept his love on him. Keep my love on you. Praise God. Which kind of brings us to our next one. When do I come back down? When do I come back down? I'll tell you what. When you answer this question correctly, this is when breakthroughs will come in your life. Because you can experience some things in God and come back down. In fact, you can experience some things in God you haven't experienced before, and it can make you a little nervous, and you can come back down to the flesh. And this is where you got to, you know him, you know his spirit, you know where he's leading you. The Lord kind of spoke this comically in my own heart one day. He said, you know, I'm leading you into paths of righteousness for my namesake. I'm not leading you into paths of flakiness, you know. But when you're in new territory, it's like, whoa. I mean, you need to be in line with the Word of God. But what are we talking about, new territory? Because if you want to go where you haven't been before, if you want to go from glory to glory, then you are going to be thinking different and doing things different than you ever have before. And I, like I said, I'd be the first one to admit it. I've resisted going from glory to glory and repeated the same glory because I know that glory. You know, I can tell in my spirit there's something more out there, but it might cost me. I might have people or relationship or da-da-da-da-da or, you know, I mean, there's more. And there's breakthroughs that'll happen right here as far as when do I come back down? This is when your relationship with Jesus gets really good, when it gets intimate. Here's we find out in Luke 10, a great story. Mary was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sisters left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Praise God. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now I'm talking about you're in that place, that sweet spot. You're fellowshipping with God. You're at the feet of Jesus, and you know you're at the feet of Jesus. One of the first things that you'll experience when you're at the feet of Jesus is the Martha voice, the distraction to get up, you know, to, okay, get up, get on, get doing some things, but to really be able to say, no, this is where God has me. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay at his feet. I'm going to listen. I'm going to take some time, and I'm going to get what you have for me, Heavenly Father. This is a staying in the sweet spot. I'm so glad Jesus came to Mary's defense and said she's right where she needs to be, and this is the sweet spot that we have through Jesus. Seeing then we have a great high priest, Jesus, who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What is that? That's just the feet of Jesus right there, where he totally gets us. And it is really, it's faith. You're there. You're at the feet of Jesus. You're not seeing anything with your eyes. You may not have any goosebumps or your emotions aren't touched. You just by faith believe that he is. He's a rewarder. And Jesus, I'm there and this is where I want to stay. See, the cool thing about, the previous part, when I walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's one of the most amazing promises in the whole Bible. I want to stop fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you'll find that when you endeavor to walk in the Spirit, that's when the battle begins. I'm going to take a little time and sit down with my Bible and just have a little devotion time. All of a sudden, you're inspired to get through that to-do list that you've been waiting for the inspiration for and being distracted with a bunch of other junk. All of a sudden, you just, I got to get this done. What is that? Martha, basically. The real power is there in the Spirit. The real power is walking in the Spirit. Because when you begin to walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the cool thing of it is, when you experience Paul says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's like a plane taking off. A plane doesn't just start off in the air. A plane taxis down the runway. It gets its speed up. And then at some point, it breaks that law of lift. And it breaks gravity. And that's what you experience. When you're just going on, by faith, Lord, I love you. I'm pursuing you. You might be listening to music. You might be fellowshipping. You're spending time in the Word. You're going down the runway by faith, knowing that eventually the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is going to break that law of sin and death that's been holding me down. And you're flying. And you know you're flying. Praise God. There's turbulence, obviously, when you're flying. Distractions, things that come. But the answer is walking in the Spirit. Now I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm going to stay in the Spirit. I'm going to stay close to Jesus. Philippians says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We're talking about how to stay in the sweet spot. If you decide to walk in the Spirit and you decide to be disciplined, I'm going to do this. Lord, I just believe you are and you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And I don't care in the distraction or religiosity, I am going to do it whether I feel it or whether I don't feel it. I'm going after you, Father. And you begin to do it. You begin to experience some things. There's one of three things that can happen when you start walking in the Spirit. First of all, good things can happen. You get answers. You see things. There's strength that you didn't have before. Self-control. Man, fruit of the Spirit is just self-control. I can look at something or a situation where I would have known how I would have reacted just last week. Now it just doesn't even faze me. Not because of anything about me. The power of the Spirit of God, and I know it's Him. Praise God. Good things can happen. Here's one of the first things that happen. When good things happen, don't even respond, or don't react. Just keep walking in the Spirit. That's not the time to go, wow, because when something happened that's really good, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to do this. No, don't. Just keep walking in the Spirit. Don't be distracted by any success. You just keep walking in the Spirit. The Lord said that to me once. He said, Ed, I don't care if I use you to raise 7 people from the dead. It shouldn't change one thing you do tomorrow. Fruit doesn't change your gaze. It's just going on. What if really bad things happen? What if I'm walking in the Spirit and I've had my devotion time and my goodness, I'm attacked in my mind, I'm attacked in my body, The answer, don't even let up. Just keep walking in the Spirit. This is where I've stopped and felt sorry for myself. Da, 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 da. And at that time, you just get sick of feeling sorry for yourself. I'm just going to keep walking in the Spirit. I'm diligently seeking Him. I don't care if bad things happen. What am I going to do? I'm going to do this. I'm going to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let my request be made known unto God. Something bad happens, I'll say, Lord, here it is. This happened. this situation. I don't know what is. I don't know why it happened, but this is what I'm doing. I am acknowledging you with it. And I am going to place this bad thing in your hands. And I'm going to let your peace keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I'm not only going to do that, but I'm going to on purpose think about things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and virtuous and praiseworthy. And I'm not going to touch that thing with my thought life, with my own self, but I put it to you and I will let you show me what to do with that. I'm not sticking my head in the sand. I'm acknowledging God with it, but I'm going on down the road. And now I'm going to keep walking in the Spirit, and I'm going to keep reading the Word, and I'm going to keep worshiping you, and I'm going to keep fellowshipping with you. That's where breakthroughs happen, when you are not intimidated off of walking in the Spirit. Nothing can shake you. There's a decision. We have the right to stay walking in the Spirit. We never have to stop walking because something happened. And I'm going to say this too. This is something I have learned over years. This isn't something that is naturally easy. This is something that goes against the grain of your flesh. It goes against the grain of your feeling. But it's faith. It's faith. Lord, I'm staying with it. I'm going to stay. Even if I fall, even if I mess up, I'm going to get back up and walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. That's bad things can happen sometimes when you're walking in the Spirit. Don't even let up. Just keep walking in the Spirit. Sometimes, here's the third thing, it seems nothing is happening as I'm walking in the Spirit. Know this, something is always happening when you're walking in the Spirit. You can't see it, you can't feel it, but you are making deposits. You are sowing to the Spirit. There are things that God is working on all different ends in your life when you make that decision. What are we talking about? Staying in the sweet spot. I'm here, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to be changed from glory to glory. Whatever that means, I'm going to go on with God. If my plane does fall down, I'm going to get back on the runway, and I'm going to get it back up in the air. I'm going to stay with God. But the cool thing is you can just choose to stay with God. And what happens out of this? It's not a discipline of, oh, walk in the Spirit. Forget that. What happens is, even though it looks disciplined, you get to know God. You get to know him in the good times, in the bad times, and in the in-between times. You get to know him. He's there. He's constant. And that's what you need. Oh, yay, everything's going good. God just so loves me. That, oh, things are going bad. No, God is God. Good, bad, or whatever. I got something I'm establishing with God that has no bearing on good or bad. I'm walking in the Spirit. I believe you are, and I believe you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, and I'm just going to keep diligently seeking you. And again, it takes faith to not have a pity party. I get it. But thank God we have the grace to do it. And he gives us strength when we do that. The Apostle Paul kind of came to a great summary, because Paul, he did a lot of amazing things for God, and he had a messenger of Satan just sent to get him out of the sweet spot. And he had a response from God when he asked God about it. And God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities," Paul is saying, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." There's a guy who just had a revelation. The grace is sufficient. The grace is sufficient. It's a simple answer for the most complicated situation. You are complete in him. You're complete in Christ. And as you stay in Christ, stay grounded in him, he's going to begin to show you things. He's going to begin to show you things to come. The way out is up. Which way is up? Well, there's a decision between self-seeking and God-seeking. How can you tell whether you're self-seeking or God-seeking? By the sound of the thoughts in your head? Is it strife and contention and confusion? You're finding something. You're finding self. That's not what God shows you. Is it pure? Is it peaceable? Gentle, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality? You're looking in the right direction. Jesus is the author. He's the finisher. You're looking in that direction of Jesus, looking up from it. Not only that, but You know, how high is the most high? There's a getting high in God. Like you said, it's like you're like a plane taxiing down a runway, and you're just feeding on the things of the Spirit of God. You're making a decision to walk in the Spirit no matter what. Your attitude should be like this. I'm going to walk in the Spirit no matter who does what. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm not doing this for my spouse or my child. I'm doing it because I love God. And I'll tell you what, it's like, this is the whole reason I got into this thing in the first place. I experienced God, His love for me. This is where I want to live. This is where I want to stay. When do I come back down? Never. I want to stay in that sweet spot. From glory to glory. Paul found the secret of staying in the sweet spot. The secret is this: His grace is sufficient for me. No matter what I'm going through, His grace is there. And because you've set your love upon Him, He's going to deliver you. He's going to set you on high. You will call upon Him and He will answer you. He is going to be with you in your trouble. He's going to deliver you. He's going to honor you. And with long life, He's going to satisfy you and show you His salvation because you have set your love on Him. Father, we set our love on You this morning. You're everything. We love You, Jesus. We got into this whole thing because we heard the good news. We believed it. We experienced something, the forgiveness of sins. We experienced a love. And Lord, that's where we are this morning. We want to live in that place. Go ahead and just make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your love. I will walk in the Spirit. Whether good things happen, bad things happen, or I can't see anything happening, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Things are happening. I can see them by faith. Day by day by day, I'm going to walk in the Spirit and get free from the flesh and overcome the flesh and get high on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. The things I can't do in of myself. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for being with me. Jesus, today's my day. I'm calling on Your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe, You love me. I receive that love now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, we just want to say, welcome to the family. It's the best decision you can ever make in your life. And if that is you, man, let me know after service. I'd love to further just encourage you and give you some really good materials to kind of get you going, get you heading on that path with the Lord Jesus. I'll tell you, you find out something about Jesus is He is the safest place in the whole world. He loves you. You can look back at your whole life as a believer and know that there is no one who has loved you like Jesus, no one who's cared for you like Him. And it's something that we learn and grow to trust, but He is the safest place in the world. Praise God.